Well, we're back to Impact, which is our series through Act. We're about halfway through, and so we are in Acts chapter 12. Now, I have a question. There's a story out there, and I couldn't find it kind of thing. You look for it, whatever, and I believe it was a small little town, and in the small little town, a guy came in, and he opened an adult store, bookstore kind of thing. And he opened it there, and the local church found out and said, "Man, we don't want that in our community." So they bought the store right next to him, and they would go in every day. They had people on a time frame and whatever, and they would just lay their hands on the wall to the building, to the next building over, and they would just pray for basically the demise of this adult bookstore. And they would pray, and they just kept praying, and they had people working there all the time, someone always praying on the wall there. And finally, the store had to close down. It didn't have any business. And so the owner sued the church. He said, "Those people ruined my business," whatever. And it was funny because in front of the judge, he's saying, "These people were praying for the demise of my church, or for my demise of my business, and it happened, and so they're liable." And of course, the people in church are like, "We ain't liable for nothing." No, like this. And the judge said this. He says, "It's amazing. The non-Christian has more belief in prayer than the Christians do." Now, you may laugh, But we say we're a people of prayer, but we are people that are surprised by prayer when it's answered, when you hear those things. I mean, when you pray, do you expect God to answer? I mean, really, right now, if you just prayed right now, do you expect God to answer it right now? Let's be honest. Okay, I probably don't have the right attitude or whatever. But why? Why don't we work with that? The thing is today we're going to look at it's a really cool story. It's a great story about prayer and how it creates miracles. It's a pretty powerful thing. I'm going to read through you. It's Acts chapter 12. I'm going to read to you because the story is just too good to leave out any details. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some of those who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. So we have a king, King Herod, now persecuting. You know, he's a Jew. He kind of believes in the Jewish stuff. He's not a complete Jew, but he likes the Jews and believes in their God. And he put to death the sword James, the brother of John. We saw that this met with approval among the Jews. He proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of the unleavened bread. After they arrested him and put him into prison, they handed him over to the guards to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each, because he's Peter. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter is kept in prison by what? It says four guards, four squads of guards all around him like this. So he's kept in prison. But it says this, "But the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with chains. Two sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. And he had to strike Peter on the side to wake him up. 'Quick, get up,' he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, 'Put on your clothes and your sandals.' So Peter did so. 'Wrap your cloak around you and follow me,' the angel told him. And so Peter followed him out of the prison. He had no idea what the angel was doing, was really happening. He thought it was just a vision or a dream. They passed the first and second set of guards and came to an iron gate leading to the city, and it opened up for them by itself, and they went through it. And when he walked about the length of one street or one block, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, 'Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent an angel to rescue me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen.' And when it dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark," so John Mark's mom, and many people were gathered there and they were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came and answered the door. When she recognized it was Peter's voice, she was overjoyed and ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter's at the door! Peter's at the door!" And they said, "You're out of your mind! You're crazy!" They told her, they kept insisting, and they said, "No, it must be his angel." But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door, they saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hands to tell them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the other brothers and sisters about this," he said, and then he left for another place. In the morning, There was no small commotion among the soldiers as what happened to become of Peter. Herod had a thorough search made for them and did not find them. He cross-examined the guards and ordered to have them executed. Huh. Interesting little story. Well, what do we learn about all this? I mean, think about it. It's kind of cool. Hey, here's the first one. I want you to understand this because I've preached on it countless times, and I'm just reminding you again because it's a good one to remind you of. Peter understood something very important. He understood God's got it. I said it throughout for a whole fall season. God's got it. God's got it. Peter understood that. I mean, how are you sleeping soundly between two guards the night before the trial where they're probably going to execute you? I mean, he's just out. He's sound asleep. Why? Because, hey, God's got it, right? He's not sure. I mean, how do you get to that point in your faith where you're not worried about everything? And you're just comfortable. You go to sleep. Get a good night's rest. Let me tell you, there's a little hint in Peter's last letter in 2 Peter. There's a little hint there. He says in that section, he's trying to tell you how to live in the end of that. He's trying, it's his last letter. He knows it. He knows he's going to die. But it gives you a little glimpse of what he believed and what he understood. It says, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and goodness, knowledge, and knowledge, self-control, and self-control, perseverance, and perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, love. Remember that big old long list? We went through that when we preached there. And he says, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. Ha! Great stuff as a Christian. I don't want to be ineffective or unproductive. He says, then therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. In other words, stand true, do these things. And he says this, for if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. Imagine that for a second. What does a rich welcome look like into heaven? That's what Peter's expecting. They always say, oh, St. Peter's at the pearly gates. I don't know where that came from. It's not biblical. Peter's there. Peter's expecting a rich welcome when he goes to heaven. That's how you understand. That's how you sleep when you know the next day you could be killed for your faith. Because he knew, hey, if they take me, no biggie. I'm going home. And he's pretty excited about it. A rich welcome. When you get your rich welcome into heaven, it's just amazing. That's when you have that kind of mindset, it helps you realize that God's got it. God's got it under control. It took him a block outside walking down the street before he came to his senses and realized it wasn't a dream. Huh? I mean, to be that confident in his faith. Oh, this is a nice dream. Maybe this is going to happen. No, it actually is really happening. And it's pretty exciting. So he understood this key point. And we keep preaching about it. We keep pushing on. And why do we do that? People go, man, why are you talking about that again? It's because repetition finally gets it into your head, right? You have repetition, repetition, repetition. That's how you learn things in school, was over and over and over again. Or you had a really hard lesson learned, but that's a whole other sermon. The next thing I notice is this. The church was earnestly praying. So it says, Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. They were praying for their leader. Now, he wasn't a perfect leader. I mean, let's face it, it's Peter. Is Peter in any way, shape, or form perfect? No. We know that from all his history with Jesus. But they're praying for him. And he knows he was forgiven. And he was God's minister to them, and so he's praying for them. And there was a group that had gathered for the night to pray. Not only were they praying for him in other places, there was a bunch of people who said, hey, we're going to have a prayer vigil for Peter at our home. Come on over and have everybody there. I mean, it's late in the night. He's sleeping. The guards are sleeping. And what are they doing? They're praying. Do you have people over to pray from the church? It's a new concept. Why? Well, the church needs prayer. Church leaders need prayer. Or do you complain? Or do you talk about things going on? Or do you invite people over to pray? Let's pray for our church. Let's pray for God to do something incredible. See, the thing is it kind of leads to the next point. We don't see miracles happen anymore, partly because we don't pray earnestly. We just pray a little bit here and there. I mean, I just asked you to begin with. If you prayed right now, do you really think God would answer your prayer right now? People are like, I mean, yeah, the Bible said so, and I have faith and all that, but really, right now? I'll tell you something. I'm with you, folks. Have a lack of faith myself when it comes to this. I thought, man, how can I prove this? You know how you kind of go through your sermon, you're trying to think of this? I thought, you know what I need to do? I just need to earnestly pray something and see if someone in the audience would actually do it. And I chickened out. I'm like you guys. I was just going to pray that someone had an urge, a feeling to do something. You know, and that's what I was going to pray. But I lack in my own faith. I'm with you guys. I know God could do it. I know it would be a really cool point, but someone would think I'd set it up. You know what I mean? Oh, Todd got a hold of him earlier and set him up. And I wouldn't have. But do we really just pray? I mean, God, my prayer is that really God's will just to do a little trick thing? No. I want God's will to be done in the lives of the people here. I want you to be motivated and encouraged and excited to share your faith and who you are and grow in your faith. That's what I want, not a trick. But we don't see miracles anymore because we don't pray earnestly. And then here's the other thing that I've noticed, and this is just, I'm just going through some quick ones here because these are things that pop up. You notice, have you noticed that we're shocked when God answers our prayers? He answered our prayers! We're like amazed that he actually did that. When God actually answers your prayers, you're shocked. We're freaked out by it. Wow. And then you go, oh, well, that's not going to happen again for a while. That's what we think. I mean, think of it. There's a perfect example of it right here. We don't expect things to happen when we pray. Rhoda is the perfect example and the people that are praying. They gathered together, they're having a wonderful fellowship time, they probably had snacks, had drinks, and they take turns praying, and oh, we're here to pray, so they were having that prayer time and those things. And Peter's knocking at the outer entrance, the servant's taking care of things, she's making sure drinks are filled and all that stuff, and so she goes out because she hears it knocking, and Peter talking, and she recognizes his voice, and she's so stunned, so excited, so shocked, she doesn't even open the door, just leaves him out there. I mean, you can see it, can't you? Just Peter going, Rhoda, no, come, Rhoda, open it. She runs back in. Tink, 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 tink. Just goes back to knocking on the door. Why? Because she was so excited, she didn't believe it. And when she gets in there and she runs into a prayer service and starts shouting. Does that really get people excited? Shh, we're praying. Now she runs in, Peter's at the door, she's all excited, she's jumping around, Peter's at the door, and she's just a lowly servant, but she believes Peter's at the door. And what do they tell her? You're out of your mind, you're crazy. He's got four squads of soldiers that he's chained to in the prison outside of town, there's no way he's at the door. And she just kept insisting. So finally they reason this, well, he probably died and we didn't know about it, and it's probably his angel. Let's go see. They really weren't too excited about it. Now, when they get there, they're obviously excited. The whole group of people at the house are excited. Why? Because Peter has to go, shh. You know, I'm still a wanted man. Shh. Let me tell you what happened. Because they got all excited. I mean, you think about it. If it was 2 a.m. in the morning and you were praying something and that happened and it showed up at the door, would you be a little excited? Would the neighbors find out? Yeah, you would be pumped. You'd be jumping around, excited, loud. He's going, shh, be quiet. See, people don't expect, we don't expect our prayers to be answered. But God does. Well, people go, well, how long? Hey, from what I could tell, hey, it's a couple days. Peter's in prison on the, he was kept in prison. More than just one day, he's there. And they're praying for him. And he tells them what's going on. He makes sure he tells them. And then he's not a stupid person. He leaves town. Because he knows what's going to happen. They're trying to just make a spectacle of him. So Peter leaves. See, the thing is what the other thing we miss is that miracles happen when we pray. I want you to think back, just in your mind, kind of go through some of the miracles that Jesus did. Right? He healed guys. He healed the blind. He healed the sick. He brought people back from the dead. He fed the 5,000, fed the 4,000. He fed people. He did all these things. He cast out demons. And what was something that is common to all those miracles? What did Jesus do? He prayed. He prayed. For the feeding of the 5,000, he gave thanks and kept just breaking it. And other times, he prayed. In fact, there's one that's going on, and he casts out a demon, and the disciples are like, "What's going on? Why couldn't we do it?" And he says, "This one only comes out with prayer. Like, you guys didn't pray enough." Prayer is the key to seeing God work. Did you hear me? Prayer is the key to seeing God work. You want to see God work in this church? Start praying. You want to see God work in your life? Start praying. And here's the thing. God is a patient God. See, we're not. We expect, I pray, answer now. God doesn't work that way. We pray and we expect something to happen immediately. But God has no problem with taking a few years. 20 if he needs to. You remember Abraham? He made a promise to Abraham that he's going to have a son. How long until that promise was fulfilled? 20 years. Really? Man, we have a hard time waiting 20 minutes. You know what I'm saying? We expect it like that. And I'm not saying that God doesn't work it that way. Sometimes it is an immediate answer to prayer. But also, there are times when our prayers need to be continuous for a long time. Some of you have prayed for family members. And you're still praying for family members. And I'm telling you, don't stop. Don't stop. God will work in their lives in time. He has a time schedule. He has a time frame. But if we stop praying, obviously it wasn't a big concern to us. We don't love them as much as you think we do. We just got to keep praying and keep praying and keep praying. And people go, but he's not answering. Yeah, he is. You know, there's a lot of things that God does in our community, in our church, and things that we miss that are answered to prayers. We were laughing. We were kind of making fun of Richard a while back because we prayed for healing for him. And then he comes back and says, no, I need to pray to have seizures. And then he wasn't having seizures. And now he's back. We don't even know what to pray for Richard. Just pray for Richard. Seizure, no seizure, whatever, he goes to the doctor, whatever. Just, Lord, whatever needs to happen when he goes to the doctor or whatever else happens, just work it out. We don't even know anymore. We just pray for him. And we know that God will work. I've seen what God's done in his life so far. And sometimes we don't know what to pray. But let me tell you, folks, the only way God moves and works is when his people pray. Now, he can do it anytime, whatever, but he likes to have us talk to him, to repeat some of his promises back through the Psalms and through the Scriptures, to pray those things. I heard it put this way one time, and I really liked it. Prayer is the nerve that moves the mighty hand of God. Now, we don't control God in any way, shape, or form. But our prayers, our earnest prayers, help move the hand of God when we pray for each other. Think about the difference if it came around next time that you prayed for something instead of complained about it. I'm guilty of this one. When things come around, you know, we complain about something. Why don't we pray for them? Well, if your order is not quick enough through this restaurant, pray for those people instead of complaining. What might it do? It'll change your attitude. What might it do for them? You never know. It's kind of cool. The thing is what happens is if we don't get our way pretty soon, if it doesn't happen immediately, we stop praying. And we need to not do that. Now, there's another little story in this chapter that has a good point to it that I don't want us to miss, because it kind of goes along with everything we've been talking about, even though it's a completely different story. It has to do with Herod, the king, who was putting Peter in prison. It tells of his death. It said, Herod went up from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. And he had been quarreling with the people of Tyre and Sidon. So the governor is arguing with some people in the town, in these two towns. And the two towns got some people together, and they trusted this person, and so they asked for peace, and they got two feuding sides together, and they talked to the king, And they asked for peace because they needed food from the king. That's the reason why they asked for peace. On that day that Herod appointed, he was wearing his royal robes, he sat on the throne, and he delivered an incredible public address. It had to be incredible because the people shouted, "This is the voice of a God, not a man." And Herod thought, "I like that. That sounds good. I'm a God." And immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. My guess would be on the throne, right there. Because he didn't give praise to God when people were saying, "Oh, this is like a God." And he thought, "Yes, I am." Boom, just like that. Now, if you were in that company and that just happened, whoo, that kind of scary. You know, you can just picture, we got great sci-fi stuff now in the movies. You can just picture the worms is eating him. Blah, he goes down to dust, he dies right there. But why did it happen? Because he failed to praise God for what's going on. How did Herod become king? Oh, you could go through the science and the politics and all the other stuff, but let's just face it, Herod was king because God allowed Herod to be king. You are blessed because God allows you to be blessed. The things that you have, the job that you have, the family, all the different things that you have, God has given that to you. It is a gift. And if you fail to praise God for what he's done, I'm not saying you're going to be eaten by worms, but it's not a good place to be. It's not somewhere I want to be. Always give God praise. See, the thing is, people forget to give God praise, to thank him. How many times do you have to remind a child to say thank you? You guys have children around? How many times do you have to remind them to say thank you? And please, but thank you as well. When things are good, we tend to forget to say thank you. When things are good in our lives, we forget to pray. When everything's running good, we don't go to God. But boy, as soon as the hard time comes, as soon as something comes, we start in our prayer life again. Why aren't we praying when things are good? Why don't we have that relationship with him all the time? Or is he just there to rescue us? Or is God actually there all the time and providing blessings, and we need to be thanking him? We need to be thanking him. There's a section in the New Testament where it says God allowed people to go over to their own ways, their own sinful ways, because of this. Because they didn't recognize God and they did not give him thanks. Folks, it's an important thing to do. So as we look through this story, this is pretty cool. We have to remember, like Peter remembered, God's got it. He'll take care of it. We need to earnestly pray, not only by ourselves, but there's power when the congregation prays together. Or when a small group or a life group prays together. There's power with that. It's funny because I go through our life group things, and I sometimes write all the prayer requests down, and it's like chicken scratches. Nobody can understand it. Read it, me. And I go through and I look and I see it, all the answered prayers that God has answered in our life group that we've been praying for. The biggest one was a long time. I'm talking when I first started life group. One of the first prayer requests we had was for Chet Karlowski's dad, George, that he would somehow come to know Christ. And he was on the top of our prayer list every week for a year and a half, 2 years. He's fighting health concerns. He was dying of cancer. But the main prayer was that he come to know Christ, he come to know Christ, come to know Christ. And everybody had gone and shared with him. Countless people had gone, his daughter, his son, all these different people were sharing the gospel with him all the time. Nope, 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 don't want it. And then they kind of laughed because he slipped and fell and hit his head. Woke up, "I want to get right with God." They're like, maybe knock some sense into him. We don't know, whatever. But hey, he came to know Christ. Chet baptized him right there in one of them big tubs where he was able to take a bath. Baptized him there with his confession of faith. He was able to come to church one time. He loved to come to church after that. He came to church one time. His health would allow him to. He died a month or so later after that. But you want to talk about a cool answered prayer. It took a year and a half. It wasn't just the top of the list. We kind of forgot it. Sometimes we forget about it. Oops, we forgot to pray for George. But then the next time we'd see Cindy there, whatever, we'd pray for him, we'd pray for him, and we prayed for him. And that's what I'm talking about. We can't expect it to happen immediately. But God works. God hears our prayers. You guys remember the king Hezekiah? He was an Old Testament king. He was a good king. He was a good man, a godly man. And he fell sick. And God came to him and said, hey, put your things in order because you're going to die in the next day. And he turned over in his bed. He rolled over to the bed, looked at the wall, and just earnestly prayed and prayed and prayed to God that he'd been a good person. He's been a good king. And can I have some more time? I'm not ready to go yet. And that's a prayer that a lot of people pray. He rolled over and prayed. The next day, Lord comes to him and says, your prayers have been heard. And your faith is powerful. Your prayers will be heard. He says, I'm going to add 15 years to your life. Now you think about that. If God gave you back 15 years, gave you 15 more years of your life, what would you do with it? Would you serve him? I mean, he's the one that gave it to you. He showed up and said, today's the day, you're dying. But you prayed earnestly. You don't think prayer doesn't make a difference? It does. What would you do with 15 more years? I hope we don't ever get to that point right now where we ever praying for... And I don't know why. Why didn't Hezekiah just want to go on to heaven? I don't know what's going on with him. But prayer makes a difference. So remember, God's got it. We pray earnestly and we pray together. And then we need to expect things to happen. Our prayers will be answered. We expect God to move. We need to expect God to move in powerful ways. See, anymore, we don't expect God to move when we pray. We don't expect him to do things. We don't like to be put in hard spots or whatever. We always make sure things. You remember, I don't know about you guys, but when I was a kid growing up and I was a teenager and we were driving around, we didn't have cell phones. And so if you broke down on the side of the road, what did you do a lot of times? If you didn't have tools to fix or whatever, you just bowed your head and prayed, Lord, I need some help. Where I grew up in western Nebraska and eastern Wyoming, when you broke down in the middle of there's nothing. Nobody comes by for hours. There's just nothing out there. And, you know, you just pray and hope. And along would come a farmer, godly man. Oh, I got just the right part to fit that, right? No problem. And they'd go back and come back and they'd help you fix your car and get it going on the road again. Nowadays, we don't have that. We don't have that luxury of prayer like that anymore, just with our simple cars, do we? We break down. What do? Boop, 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 boop. AAA, can you come help me? My battery's dead. I'm out of gas. Like, you know, I got a flat tire. We haven't have people have come. They come and change flat tires. Guys, it's not that hard to change a flat tire. Ladies, you should not ever have to do it. You should call your husband or whoever you need to have change tire, but you should have them come and change tire for you. Not that hard. But now they have people come and do it for you. It's great for those people. They have a job to do something pretty simple. Charge you $150 an hour. It's crazy. But we used to rely on God to provide, even in hard time situations that we weren't even expecting. Nowadays, we just trust in ourselves and our insurance and our cell phones and the things we have. And folks, God can still work and God can still use, but we don't ask God to work as much as we used to. We don't ask God to move in the lives of people as much as we used to. And we need to get back to it. And lastly, we expect things, and we need to give God the praise for every good thing that happens in your life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I mean, we live in a wonderful area. We got some good rain this week, right? Praise God for that. That's good. You guys all look pretty good. I know that some of you have been battling sickness, and you're here, and I'm glad to have you here. And you're like, you don't know what it was like. Hey, you're alive. You're here. You get to praise God. God does some incredible things when his people pray. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited and I'm encouraging you to get together with others and pray. Here's the thing. Peter did not organize this prayer vigil. You know how I know that? He was in prison. It wasn't the leader of the church that organized the prayer thing. It was the people in the church that organized the prayer. Folks, you don't have to take, it doesn't take us the leadership or whatever to inspire you to do some of those things. Invite some friends over. You invite friends over all the time. Have barbecue, sit around, watch TV, whatever. Invite them over and pray. When the Broncos start playing, invite your friends over who like the Broncos. And during halftime, pray. You might need to pray for the Broncos, how they're playing, but pray for your church. Pray for what's going on. Why not? You're together with Christians. When you gather together with Christians, what should you, one of the first things you should be doing? Praying. You should. Why? Well, because we're Christians. We believe in God. If nothing else, we should be giving thanks. Not just thanks for the meal, the snack, or whatever we're having, but man, just praise Him for, I got a church I can go to. I got people I can count on. I got friends and family. I got a life group. I got, I'm breathing today. It's a good week. It's a bad week. I need to pray for that. Whatever, there's tons of things to pray for. But as a body of believers, we need to start praying for what God could do through us. I want to encourage you to do that. We got to see today a story, a pretty exciting story, of how God works. And I think God can do some incredible things still today through the power of the Holy Spirit working in each and every one of us. We're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitation song. And the invitation is always open. If you do not know Jesus Christ, we would love to talk to you about that and give your life to Christ. But maybe you need to get your life back right with Christ. You've done that a long time ago, but you've kind of wandered off or whatever. We just encourage you to get back right with God. Keep growing. Maybe your prayer life has been the thing that's head out the door. Just pray that you get back involved in that prayer life thing. We're going to stand and we're going to sing. We invite you to come if you have a decision to make.